Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now for some personal business. Is my wife gone? My wife has been here all this afternoon. She is in talking with a big man. Okay. My wife Maria was here helping us with our show prep, and you decide as to whether it was any good listening to the succeeding hour of radio. Just a look at the news here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Rosie O'Donnell, who is called the Queen of Nice, and you know her television show was celebrated as a throwback. As a matter of fact, she was one herself who celebrated the likes of Mike Douglas and the old afternoon TV talk shows that were very congenial and they were chatty. And Rosie was certainly like that. At least that's what people say. Given the times that I work, I didn't see a lot of her show, but I did see her whole Tom Cruise shtick when she had Mike Douglas on, and really, it was unique in that it didn't pander necessarily to anything dark in us. It pandered to everything that was gay in us. No, it pandered. It spoke to that part of us that wanted to be, you know, nice to people. It's old style nice. And the only reason why I say that, and I'm not saying anything that's revolutionary or any revealing all that much, because perhaps you've already heard the quotes. Apparently, she has ripped into Bill Clinton, Michael Jackson, Anne Heche, Sharon Stone. She says, I'm no longer a TV talk show host, and so I, you know, the bitch ain't so nice anymore. And that's cool, but what does that really say? It says that for the, how long did she do that show? Three, four years? It says during that entire period that she was doing that show, she was gritting her teeth, she was coming off the stage and looking into the mirror and probably throwing back a big tumbler of single barrel Jack. Rosie, do you know, I'm sick of it. Miss O'Donnell, but you're like, get out! You know, and I look at that and I don't know that about myself, right? Because when I quit this gig, I might as well tell you listening right now, you've heard my program, you know that we do a lot of satire, we do a lot of rather pointed commentary on society, and that I am a married man and I have four kids, but I'm really gay. And what I really want is a role as a Benedictine monk. I want to join one of those cloister jobs up there, the coast of California, where they don't talk and they just do macrame all day long. And they sort of, when the forest fire hits, the brothers have to be, you know, we got to run down the road. I want a life that is completely fruity. Katie Couric. See, here is Rosie O'Donnell, who is the Queen of Nice, and now she's ripping. Boy, she ripped Michael Jackson. She called him a freak. She says the guy doesn't have nasal passages. She says that Bill Clinton was a pile of rubbish. She raged at Liza Minnelli. She can't stand Anne Heche because apparently Anne Heche told Barbara Waller she was never really gay, and that bugged the hell out of Rosie. She says Oprah Winfrey is a pile of crap for not showing up to her own show. I mean, blah, 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 all this stuff. And so let this be a lesson. This is something that you got to know about show business. It's show business. It's show business. You don't ever know anybody just because you think you know their show, just because you watch their program for afternoon after afternoon and she became your good buddy. You know, like Oprah Winfrey has the image of being everybody's buddy. And that she's been on these diets and that she's sort of, you know what she was? She's going home and she's eating like a leg of lamb and then purging it. And just sitting there feeling absolutely disgusted with herself and looking up at Stepman and going, I don't know how much longer I can take it. Well, what are you talking about? Hey, going out there and being nice to everybody. Katie Couric. She looks sweet, doesn't she? She goes home and puts on leather. She goes home and puts on a leather mask. This is Katie Couric when she goes home. This is Katie Couric on stage.
Hi, everyone. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about, it's a terrible problem, the upper colonic. And today we'll go out to Renfro Junior High and we'll look at them make decoupage.
And then she gets off stage and it's... Hurt me some more.
You like that, don't you?
Bullwhip and a ball gag. She goes from the decoupage to the bullwhip and a ball gag. Ted Koppel. I know he's not, he's Mr. Button Down more than he is Mr. Nice, right? Ted Koppel gets off that set and goes home and puts on a denim skirt and just throws himself through his apartment going, woo, and he's like, he's Reba McEntire. You didn't know that about Ted, did you? He's got it. I'm Ted Koppel, and this evening on ABC News, we'll talk to a bunch of ragheads about what's going on in the Middle East. And then he gets off stage, he gets onto his, into the limo, and just get me home, Jesus. Get me home, come on, I've got a headache. And he gets up to his apartment, he's putting on a Halston original with a string of pearls, and a, just a very nice handbag, something that matches. And he just kind of, by himself, flaunts throughout the apartment like some sort of flamboyant Ed Gein, minus the murderous instinct, just, wee. Twirling about under a spinning disco ball there in his apartment. Ted Koppel, freak. Matt Lauer looks buttoned down, looks like everybody's mother, you know, every mother's son, right? What mother wouldn't want to have Matt Lauer as a son? He's a good-looking guy. He's a well-spoken man. And he goes home to a house where there's no furniture, just empty KFC boxes and pictures of Kate Smith with the eyes cut out. Just sort of thumbtacked to a wall, and he sits there just cleaning a Ruger 9mm. Matt, you're on. Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Matt Lauer, and this is the new. Anyway, he's in his dressing room just... What's that? Shut up. It's my mouse. It's not your mouse. It's my mouse. Has a little mouse in his pocket. You really like that, don't you? Yeah, it's my bunny rabbit. Will Smith, father, accomplished actor, fine entertainer. You know, but then he just like he's masturbating in a cave somewhere on the weekend. I don't know. It's you see, you say to me, well, don't be extreme. Don't be extreme. I had Oprah Winfrey, or what's her face? What's her name? Rosie O'Donnell? Which one's gay? Rosie? She's on the TV there, you know, every afternoon for 4 years. Everything is sweet. Everything's just a bowl of cherries. Everything's just a big fruit salad. Come on in. The water's fine. She gets off, and she turns into freaking Helga the Fire Queen, man. She's just breathing fire on everybody. So let that be a lesson to you. Ted Koppel in a denim skirt doing a whole Reba McEntire act up there in his townhouse. Jay Leno. Hi, everybody, I'm Jay Leno, and he's got the smirk with the jaw, and, you know, he rides his motorcycles and everything, and, but the guy's got skulls in an icebox somewhere, I'm sure. He just goes back to the scene of where he beat a rabbit to death with a baseball bat. Jekyll and Hyde, that's Rosie, you know, it's right off the air, she's doing the whole, that's a good remake. Anybody want to make a movie? I got it. I got it. I got the idea. Here it is. Here's another idea I'm just going to give to any writer listening to me, and I happen to know there's millions of them right now. Here's your idea. This is a made-for-TV movie, or I think it's a feature film. TV talk show host by night, and then when he gets off stage, he just guzzles some formula and goes out and terrorizes, you know, like flower girls, just with a big top hat, and he looks like something right out of London After Midnight. He's got a cape. Yeah, the cat wears a cape everywhere. But, like, you know, and then he's fine. You know, it wears off, and he's laying in his penthouse with a DVD what's that thing called? Face Off on the, you know. What was the one where the guy's face is peeled off? Yeah, he's got that going. I think it's a great idea. You have a guy who's an affable talk, like Mike Douglas, just, hi, I'm Mike Douglas, and coming up is Della Reese, and we're going to have some great young group called NSYNC. And then he goes off stage, and suddenly, oh, my God, what? It's the full moon. Whatever you hear, don't unlock that door. And, you know, and then he eviscerates a sheep out in the parking lot or something. All you see are paw prints coming through the window, and he's just laying there with his tie loose, just, it happened again. Flick, I'd watch that. Especially if it said, created by and directed by Phil Hendry, with all proceeds going to Phil Hendry. What do you think? If you looked close enough at Jerry Lewis's face, there was a look of menace. Johnny Carson had a little bit of a tense look on his face, like he got off the air and then he'd go home and just pull the wings off of butterflies, or, you know, whatever wife he was married to at that time. You don't like my show, do you?
I love it, Johnny. I never said
I am! And who, you know, the one like, Sheriff John, he was, no, I'm just kidding about Sheriff John. By the way, I saw a great piece about Engineer Bill, but you don't know who I'm talking about, do you? Never mind. What if Engineer Bill, he was the guy that did Red Light, Green Light on Channel 8. Nobody know? Nah, never mind. Forget it. Nice guy, lives out in Westlake. Not talking about you, Bill. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So we're reacting to the news that Ted Koppel's a cross-dresser. You could give us some news or information about that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You know who I always thought was the quintessential nice-looking person, although I never bought it, and I don't mean to demean. Nobody is as they seem. Freud tells us, indeed Jung told us, indeed Adler told us, that we all have different personas, and we utilize those personas to whatever benefit may accrue. You're not the same person out in the workplace that you are at home. You're not the same person at home that you are in a workplace. That's why they say kids should be allowed to be squirrely at home because they can never be themselves, you know, at school or anything. But everybody's different. And the person who always struck me as ultimately really nice, but I never quite bought it, was Joan London. You remember Joan London on Good Morning America? There was something so squeaky clean about her and so fresh and so snow-driven and so marvelous. Meg Ryan, too. And then you find out that she is an escaped Bosnian war criminal. It would be the same thing, you know. Like Meg Ryan, you find out Meg Ryan has been involved in cloning research or something, you know. And maybe she's got a ghoul in her basement. Just, you know, Sandra Bullock has a ghoul in a vault.
Hi, I'm Sandra Bullock, and oh, this new movie I'm doing, and everything's just kind of groovy, and the next thing you know,
LAPD was called to the home of Sandra Bullock today, where a ghoul in a vault was found.
Just some... And she's got an Igor, you know, nothing you'd ever...
Hi, this is my home, and...
Well, Sandra, where do these stairs lead? Nowhere. Let's just go... Well, they go downstairs to a... what was that? Oh, it's my... I've got gas. I'm... Sandra, it sounds like you have a ghoul in a vault. No. How about the Judds? It is sweet as hell, right? The Judds have been pretty open with their lives, haven't they? They've opened up, poor, what's her name? The lady who had Naomi, she had the hepatitis, and, you know, and Ashley is a great talent. They're all, they kind of, they're really kind of a dichotomy, that family. They're very hillbilly-esque, and yet they're very educated people. But there's something in their background that isn't quite right, something that it's not adding up, you know? They've got a guy chained to the water heater downstairs, you know, just, please, you got to help me. Boy, lucky you. Ashley's got, no, it's no good. There's a guy chained downstairs. They have an uncle. He's just chained to a cot in the attic, you know. Oh, yeah, it's Eddie. He's good. He was in the group, but, you ever heard of Ecstasy? Yeah, he burned out. So that's what I'm talking about when I say you can never take people at face value. There's always going to be a backstory. And so when Rosie O'Donnell does the Miss Nice thing and then she comes out and starts crapping all over everybody, Wilfred Brimley, the judge, Dolly Parton. How about Tom Hanks? I don't care. Wilfred Brimley was always a cat that couldn't be right because he was eating like park benches and stuff. Wasn't he the guy that went, I'm Wilfred Brimley for Quaker Oats. And you can all kiss my big brawny rear end because if you don't. Remember him coming on with that Quaker Oats thing? Oh, I'm Wilfred Brimley. You want to know why I'm regular? Nobody my age. No one my age. And I dare any of you to write in and tell me. Mail me your bowel movement, because I'm telling you right now, no one my age. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We are now going to do our uplifting email of the day, and this comes to us from a fan in Van Nuys, California. What do you need, bud? I'm going to do something. What do you need?
Can I come in and take a nap in here?
What do you want to take a nap in here?
I got kicked out of the woman's head. They had that cotton there.
I'm doing a show.
Well, I won't make... I just want to take a nap.
We're going to keep you awake.
No. No, you won't. You won't.
You want to come in here and take a nap?
If you don't mind.
Go ahead. Lay down.
All right, so I'll go over here.
That's fine. All right, today's uplifting email here on the Phil Hendry Show, and this comes to us from Claudia. It's she's in Van Nuys. It says, "Dear Phil, the first time I heard you, I was thoroughly disgusted. It was in 1996, and the holistic healer Margaret Gray was telling a listener how Senator Bob Dole needed to do more push-ups to strengthen his upper body. Well, I listened in stunned amazement. Why was the host giving free rein? Why was the host giving free rein to this awful woman? I refused to tune it. All right, hold on for a minute, bud. Bud! You're making noise, dude.
Might have been playing with that. I got it, man.
Go back to sleep, okay?
Moon.
Margaret Gray was telling a listener how Senator Bob Dole needed to do more push-ups to strengthen his upper body. I listened in stunned amazement. Why was the host giving free rein to this awful woman? I refused to tune in after that, but I would give a quick listen every now and then. Bud.
Fanny. Making noise?
Yes. Why was the host giving free rein? Why was the host giving free rein to this awful woman? I refused to tune in after that, but I would give a quick listen every... Hey!
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I'm trying to do a radio show here.
Hey, what'd I do?
You're making gas, you got snoring and everything. Now, come on. I'm throwing you out if you keep doing it.
How am I supposed to know?
I don't know how you're supposed to know.
Huh? If anybody snore, how do they know? They're asleep.
I don't know, man, but I'm going to have to believe you.
I'm going to go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep. Jesus, open a window, will you? But I would give a quick listen every now and again, and then I would see if the management had come to their senses and fired you. Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some... Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some sort of... Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some sort of an expert, and I realized it was a hoax. Then a friend... Then a friend told me, "Didn't you know he does all those voices?" Then I was hooked. Shut up! Oh, now he's gonna bawl. Now he's bawling, huh? I'm waking you up because you're laying there sounding like an animal. An animal!
I didn't mean it.
It doesn't matter whether you mean it or not. Are you an animal? Go back to sleep. And I mean sleep. Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some other sort of expert, and realized it was a hoax. Then a friend told me, "Didn't you know he, meaning you, Phil, does all the voices?" Then I was hooked. I love you, Phil. I'm especially touched by the devotion you have toward your wife and stepchildren. Not every stepdad would or could do that. You're a master showman, a great dad, and a heck of a primate. Sincerely, your fan, Claudia, Van Nuys, California. Well, Claudia, thank you for that letter and for writing into the Phil Hendry Show. We'd like to give you a Phil Hendry Show...
I'm sorry.
We want to give you a Phil Hendry Show Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt if you'll just send us $16 plus shipping and handling. Yes, we'll give you a Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt if you just send us...
Okay, that's my fault.
Yeah, uh-huh. $16 plus $7 shipping and handling. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, so now we find out that even though we've boosted our security along the borders, we've boosted our security at airports. We have waged a war on terror overseas. We're putting a lot of money and a lot of reorganization into the intelligence community. Now we find out that just about everything else is vulnerable, from electric power stations, power grids, computer system, food supply, water supply, that we are ill-prepared, according to a recent report on Fox News. Which is a little bit like saying, if we're ever attacked from outer space, we're very ill-prepared. And I mean that literally, because at some point, it becomes... I don't want to use the word silly, because it's not silly, but at some point, there's a thing called secondary anxiety. Anybody know what that is? Well, let me tell you. Secondary anxiety is the anxiety that kicks in because you're feeling anxious over the fact that you're feeling anxious. Do you understand? Does it kind of get, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you can feel very anxious about something, and you're feeling that anxious, and then you go, oh, my God, I'm feeling anxious, and you're secondary anxiety is starting to kick in this country. So we're already sweating it, and now we're sweating the fact that we're sweating it. And that's too much. That's you're going well beyond the call of duty there. You don't need to do that. And I understand why a lot of you do it. It's because it's being fed every day by, and in the interest of keeping us informed. Sometimes I think the word informed is another word for panicked. Where's the difference between these? We'd like to keep you informed. And the actual subtitle there at the bottom of the page is, we'd like to keep you people crapping in your pants from fear. Just trying to keep you informed. Yeah, you're just trying to scare me to death. Well, same thing. Just trying to scare you to death. I mean, keep you informed. I mean, scare you to death. I don't know. We're just doing our job. I'm out of here at 5. What do I care? Here's some news. You make sense out of it. I always love these news channels. We report, you make sense out of it. I can't make sense out of it. You better make sense out of it, because I can't. We report, you make sense out of it, and if you can't, then we'll make sense out of it. That's what I need you to make sense out of it for me, because I can't make sense out of it. I can, of course, because, well, I'm an erudite and bookish guy, but I think a lot of people, too many people are relying on the news to make sense out of it. Somewhere along the line, guys, you got to make sense out of it yourselves, is what I'm saying. I don't know when you want to begin doing that. I don't know at what point it starts, but you do. Otherwise, you're going to have that secondary anxiety. You're going to be caught in a maelstrom of panicked feelings, shortness of breath. Go to the doctor, say, I got an anxiety attack. Well, you ought to. I mean, we just got hit by Al-Qaeda. You're not sick. You're healthy. Jeez, I thought I was sick. No, you're all right. So they tell us now that we're ill-prepared because our food supply and our water supply and our power grids and our computer systems and our electrical plants and our nuclear plants and our roadways and our highways and our schools and our children, and we're virtually, susceptible at every turn. And, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Well, what are we going to do? We're going to do what we're doing. And before they get over here, we go over there. We mess them up, okay? And it's the best thing that we can do. Right now, as I've said so often, the theme that I have been trying to trumpet here on the Phil Henry Show is simply this. Right now, they don't have to do jack because they got everybody looking in the bowl before they pulled a chain just thinking about it. They've done one thing. It was called September 11th, and we've got them hiding under the beds. They're coming out of the rafters. They're inside of our cars. They have got us on the puppet strings. All they got to do is open their mouths. They release a little videotape here, a little audio tape there. They find there were large breaches in security before 9/11. Can we all agree on this? Yes, they blew it before 9/11. Can we just all agree? They blew it before 9/11. I think we all got that down. I don't think anybody's got to beat that horse to death any more than it's already croaked, okay? It's dead. It's beaten. They blew it before 9/11. Since 9/11, I would think things have gotten a little bit tighter, and of course you got people bitching about that. First and foremost among them, Steven Spielberg, who, he doesn't like that Big Brother thing, and he's made that big hard-hitting movie all about that. But then again, if anybody were to blow his garage up or, take Haley Joel Osment and kidnap him or something, maybe he'd think twice about not wanting the cops all over everybody like white on rice. I don't know. But let's just agree that before 9/11, everything sucked. And now why don't we all agree while we're on the subject that after 9/11, things have gotten a little bit better in terms of security. How do you know, Phil? Well, how do I know? Because I ain't seen diddly squat happening around here since 9/11. I've seen videotapes. That doesn't kill anybody. I've heard press releases. That doesn't kill anybody. I've heard Al-Qaeda screaming and yelling that they're going to kill us. That doesn't kill anybody. I've seen them wet their pants once they get a 9mm put into their ears and then shipped down to Guantanamo. That sure as hell ain't messing me up. I've seen bunker busters blow them halfway to kingdom come. I haven't heard hide nor hail out of that guy Osama bin Laden, and that ain't exactly making me lose any sleep either. We're victims of our own fear right now, and I'm probably not the first guy to say this, but it's so obvious, it's disgusting. You got the stock market going through the floor, and why? Oh, well, world tensions. There's always going to be world tensions. When has there ever been world tensions? No confidence in American business. Couple of creative accounting here and a little bit of creative accounting there, and suddenly everybody doesn't want to invest in American companies anymore. You can make the stock market jump just by saying something along the lines of, who farted? And the next thing you know, it's a sell-off 300 points. That's about how scientific those clowns are. Everybody believing everything, everybody reacting to everything. You guys have got to pull it together out there, man, because I just saw the poll here. We're losing the war on terrorism. Since when? Since when? What's changed since everybody said we were winning the war on terrorism in January? How is it all of a sudden we're losing it? What am I missing? I'll tell you what I'm not missing anything. What's happening is nobody has seen, they haven't stopped the press releases out of Al-Qaeda, so everybody thinks that they're still over there plotting and planning. Maybe they are. Maybe we will have another terrorist attack. The reason why the FBI says that we're going to have another terrorist attack is so they don't have to go through the public relations nightmare that they've been going through since 9/11, which is, why didn't you guys tell us? Why didn't you guys, why weren't you more vigilant? Why didn't you guys get on top of this thing? All right, you want us on top of it? Yes. Okay, there may be another terrorist attack there. Are you happy? All right, well, it makes me feel better. Good, okay. Are you doing anything about it? Well, yeah, we're doing something about it, okay? Maybe we were doing something about it back in September, but apparently nobody got the memo. That's the only reason why those guys say there's going to be another terrorist attack, so that nobody can say that we got caught with our pants down around our ankles and the FBI looks like big heroes. That's the only reason. And the only thing that those guys over there have got are a whole lot of hot air, and that's all they've ever really had, except for about 19 guys who got themselves juiced on some vodka tonic and paid a few strippers off. And, you know, basically, real good Muslim boys that they were, they're living large down there in Florida with rented cars, hookers, booze, and then they finally got on a plane and flew themselves into kingdom come. Man, it's the only way one of those committed Muslim cats can do it, a little Johnny Walker Black. So somewhere along the line, this is what's going to happen, because you know that this is exactly the cycle. You get tired of feeling tired. You get weary of feeling weary. And you're sick and tired of being nervous, and you just go on about your life. That's what they do in Israel, basically. Those people have lived under it for over 50 years. And we're going to get used to it, but, you know, we still got to kind of, I guess we sort of got to cinch it up a little bit. I think we all still think, even though we say it ain't before, we all think it is still before 9/11. We're still trying to just kind of do business as usual around here. Well, it ain't going to happen. I'll tell you what you got to get ready for. I mean, get ready for another terrorist attack if you want. I am. I'm aware. I got my eyes open. I'm a good American. You know, I realize why the FBI says what they say. They don't have any specific threat, but they say it's possible. But I tell you what you should get ready for, and that's when Iraq goes down the crapper. That's when they take Syria out. That's when Uncle Sam finally starts pulling the chain on those guys. Get ready for that, because that's sure going to happen. And as far as what Bush said today about Palestine, I love it. Everybody's saying, well, it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Hey, Bush, do me a favor, will you, okay? If I got to keep hearing about Clinton, and it's only been 2 years since that guy was, you know, since that guy ain't been president, but I'm still hearing about him. As if he's got something to do with what's going on now. I'm still hearing about Clinton. You want to know why? Because people are unhappy with Bush, a lot of these Republicans that put that guy in office. So rather than take the pot shots at Bush, they want to pine away for the good old days when they had Bill Clinton to whack around. Well, let me ask you about this. I got a president today who says, well, we want to get a new Palestinian leadership, and we want to draw the line here, and we want to make sure that the Israelis have a right to defend themselves, the Palestinian people. Why don't you just say it, man? You want to grease Arafat, drag him out of there, tag him and bag him, and put somebody else in there. He doesn't want to be that direct for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. People tell me it's because there's a lot of behind the scenes going on. Oh, you mean like Clinton's behind the scenes? Just spell it out, baby. You know, we really don't have time to play these cloak and dagger games anymore. Just spell it out. What do you want to do? Or maybe you ain't got a plan. So anyway, that's what I think about Rosie O'Donnell. 1-800-449-8686. I think if we get rid of her, then we got, you know, get rid of these angry lesbians, and we're about 50% the lesbian war is fought. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Yesterday on our show, the gossip columnist Ann Landers was eulogized in a very strange way by Margaret Gray, who's also a syndicated columnist. Margaret came on and wanted to sing a song in tribute to Ann Landers, even after misrepresenting what Ann Landers used to write about. She thought that Ann Landers wrote about health issues, including how to lance a boil. Anyway, here it is from yesterday's show. Margaret Gray attempting to eulogize Ann Landers.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to sing the song.
You want to sing the song? What, the song to Ann Landers?
Yes, you cut me off and I want to sing...
You're singing about liver bile.
She's dead, Phil, which is more than I can say. Well, you can say more than... Well, you know what I mean?
All right, I'm alive, which is more than she can say.
I'm just trying to show you what it's like when Russia was crying for Jack Buck.
Yeah, okay. Sing your song for Ann Landers. I was in the middle of telling my story about wanting to be a doctor.
I'm sorry, here it is. Oh, isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clowns. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Cling ling ling cling ling ling.
What are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
That's the piano break, Phil. I don't have a piano, so I'm having to...
Go ahead.
Cling ling ling cling ling ling. Oh, isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around. One who can't move. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns.
It's actually very lovely, Margaret.
Thank you. Just when I saw a boil on my ass.
Okay.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Anyway, there's a high school wrestling coach who admitted biting the head off a live sparrow, and he's resigned from his coaching job. Why? What, do you want to be Aussie? Avon High School board members accepted Aaron Bright's resignation from his coaching job of 7 years Monday night. He'll remain as a history and geography teacher at the suburban Indiana. Oh, I see. So he'll remain as a history and geography teacher, but they don't want him coaching football. I would have him be fired from the history and geography gig and keep him coaching football. The guy bit the head off a bird. Bright, of course, it's easy for me to second guess, isn't it? It's easy for me to be the big mouth talk show host and second guess some puny little high school there in Indiana because it just happened to go over the wire services. Why, these people at Avon Indiana High School are morons! Why not keep the guy as a coach? I don't know what the guy's about, but he's a 31-year-old guy in Cloverdale. He submitted a one-sentence resignation, and he was not at the meeting where his resignation was accepted or discussed. According to the head of the school board, he didn't mention the bird in his letter. So this guy gets canned. Ozzy gets a TV show. How do you think I got rid of them mud swallows at my house? I bit the head off of all of them. So my kid said,
hey, can we butter the hen?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. I think we'll miss him as a coach, and I'm sorry to see him resign, Pearl said, but I respect his wishes. Oh, yeah, right. A message-seeking comment was left at Bright's home on Tuesday, but he told everybody to go pound sand and shove it. He was suspended without pay for 2 weeks after officials learned of the incident, which occurred in December at the home of Bright's parents in Centerville near Richmond. Mr. Bright, some assistant coaches, and 15 varsity wrestlers were attending a two-day meet in nearby Connersville, and he said he bit off the bird's head to fire up the team. The criminal charge was dismissed after Bright completed 2 days of community service. How about that? You bite off a bird's head and you get 2 days of community service. What do you do? You're running around, you're scrubbing pigeon crap off of statues. Ozzy Osbourne bites the head off a dove, and then subsequent to that, the head off a bat, and that guy is living large with a big $20 million deal. Phil Henry bit the head off all the mud swallows, and I'm still sitting here with a job, and that poor guy is stuck in a classroom in history and geography. We can't possibly have you infecting our wrestlers. Why don't you go in there and teach math? I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it. It's almost like saying, you know, I had a math teacher in high school who was a heavy drinker, you know, and he also was teaching track, and they finally told him, got to get you off the track team, we'll just keep you in math. I'm not going to give you his name, but he was a member of a religious order, and no, he didn't molest anybody. He just drank. In fact, for Easter, we gave him a bottle of Wild Irish Rose. And this guy is a hell of a math teacher, but he come in on Monday with shades and just a ring of sweat on his collar, you know? Just like the sun and everything associated with it was a little too much to take. So this guy used to juice, and they took him off the job as the track coach, but he's still sitting there teaching math? I don't understand half of these decisions that are made. And speaking of Ozzy Osbourne, by the way, he was talking to his son about boozing or something the other night on the latest episode. And the kid says, Dad, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like to be the son of a man who bit the head off a bat. Even though it's 20 years old, they keep talking about you biting the head off a bat. And Ozzy goes, now continue to talk about it. It's not what we're talking about, are we? My biting the head off a bloody bat, off a beep bat, has got nothing to do with beep drinking. You beep, little twerp. And I feel for the kid because, you know, can you imagine you're going to school and, hey, you're the guy with the shuffling old man on TV. I think they're doing a lot of damage to those kids, if you want my honest opinion. I'm dead serious. I'm not talking about the way they raise their kids. Don't get me wrong about that. I think sticking them up on TV every week is going to blow their minds six ways to sunset. I think there's not going to be anything left between the ears after they get rid of that show. What kind of abuse are they taking at school, even though it is a highly private school somewhere out in the west side of town? I don't know what it is, but it's about 35 G's a year per student. And its initials are, I ain't saying. No wonder the kid dresses the way he does. They're always bugging him about his dad, but all he wants to be is cool. All he wants to do is have new friends. All he wants to do is be popular. And all they're doing is bringing up the freaking head off the bat. So he's bugged. No wonder he drinks. If you come home every night and you take a look at your father there with a cane and the tats, and wouldn't you want to take a shot? You sort of like, I just got to clear my head. Hold on. Yeah, you're my dad. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Martha Stewart. I don't know where what I did wrong with my life that I got to keep hearing about this story, Martha Stewart. And as a matter of fact, some of these news guys are already asking the question, well, many people are asking why we're talking about Martha Stewart. Well, let me just explain why. So in other words, they're getting defensive and they're feeling a little odd that they're talking about Martha Stewart, that they're going on and on and on and on and on about Martha Stewart. And the reason why they're going on and on and on about Martha Stewart is because she's, I don't know how else to say this to you. This is a woman with some success, so let's just start pounding on her. And the fact is they've been doing it ever before this Imclone thing, before the supposed insider trading or the pre-sale of stocks. They've been busting on her since day one. She came out, she got big, she's got a company that supposedly was worth, in the hundreds of millions, and nobody likes it. So they're just nailing her. Every time they get a chance to take a shot at Martha freaking Stewart, they do. Now, let me be clear. I don't know anything about decoupage, and I don't make things out of egg cartons. It's fine. It's great. It's nice. And I've been seeing people doing that for years. I'm not even clear why she's so successful when others haven't been that great. Because I remember as a kid, I'd be watching the TV. There'd always be a woman there. Now we'll make a flower out of the construction paper. Make sure you get number 3 paper. Isn't that lovely? All right, now let's take our glue. And you want to get the Elmer's glue, number 63. All right, we'll squirt a little bit here. And here.
And there, look at that.
That's very nice.
Isn't that nice? And you can do that for Easter, Christmas, birthdays.
And it's inexpensive, too, isn't it, Becky?
It's very inexpensive. And here is...
Now, what are you going to do with those... what are you going to do with that gun?
All right. This is a Smith & Wesson. And as you can see, there's six chambers in it. And, well, let me just put it to your head and...
Oh, my God.
And that's how they do it.
Who knows, man? I don't know. All I know is the woman's a success. I got into this argument with my wife, the Republican. Get a load of this. Here she goes. Well, you know, I don't know why they're busted on Martha Stewart. Yeah, honey, I know that. I don't know why they're busted on Martha Stewart either. Of course, I didn't understand why they were busted on Hillary Clinton either.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Woman with a big mouth, plus a degree in law, plus some success in business, and everybody got to rip her down. Leona Helmsley. I don't know whether she wasn't nice to the employees or not. I mean, that's no reason to start ripping somebody. How come they zero in on these any successful woman who's out there? That's what I'm talking about. Am I wrong? There, any woman's got any success in this society is pretty much a target. And the reason is because it's non-traditional. Now, if I sound like some guy who, you know, has got my, my balls in my wife's purse, well, guess what, pal? I'm my own man. I think for myself, okay? Is that my wife? Hold on for a minute. Yeah? No, sugar plum. No, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, never mind. Anyway, I... Just back off of the Martha Stewart, will you? Many people are wondering why we're talking so much about Martha Stewart. All right, so did she break the law? Maybe she didn't break the law. I don't know if she did, she didn't. I don't know what's going on. Or is it the Robert Blake syndrome? Is she a celebrity who's been involved in crime? Is that it? There's two people in this world they're always trying to bust on. Women in business and Robert Blake. Just, you know, what's the difference? Look, it doesn't bother me. I mean, she's made herself all kinds of jack, showing people how to take soup cans and turn them into air raid shelters. It's fine with me.
And you can decorate your air raid. You know, it's not just an air raid shelter, but she has an air raid shelter that's made out of potpourri.
You know, somehow she's got a lead-lined potpourri or something.
Okay, isn't that nice, Bob?
Now, this is a full air raid shelter that can protect me from gamma radiation.
Yes, and it's all done with potpourri. And pot stickers, and there's a nice, see? And also egg cartons.
All right, so there you go. A bomb shelter that can protect you from gamma radiation, done with potpourri and egg cartons. Well, I'm Bill Swem, and I'm totally emasculated. And with me, of course, is Becky Sulb. And what else do we have? This is lovely.
Oh, this is a full cobalt container made with popsicle sticks. So you just go in. Just go ahead and sit in there, and we'll... And
you're going to hit me with the gamma radiation.
Yes, watch this. Oops. Well, he's all cooked. But, well, next week. I don't know how to do the announcer throw. I can't throw it to a commercial.
Where's the host?
He's cooked inside the thing, so, all right. Isn't that nice?
So they've been doing it for years, and how all of a sudden Martha Stewart is going to get hung on the cross for the sins of all those other women? Come on. Just because some woman was showing you how to make a big paper mache, a construction paper rose, and you can put it to your front door and say happy birthday, Grandma, as she comes off the bus from wherever it is, Vancouver. And, she's getting off the thing with the Mother Goose shoes and, like, two steamer trunks, and she's got a big, got one of those, like, you know, those mourning veils across her face and a large wart on her nose. And, hi, Grandma, did you bring any money?
No, I didn't. I'm cleaned out.
Get out! 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about Martha Stewart. Sorta. On The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, you got the number, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil. You asked the question why people don't like Martha Stewart.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I can tell you why men don't like Martha Stewart and why I think most men don't like Martha Stewart.
All right, well, Vernon, I'm a man, and she doesn't bother me. I'm not a big fan of hers.
Well, let me tell you from personal experience. She has manipulated the SEC. And
are you a stockholder in her company?
No, sir, but I'm just going to give you some background before I tell you. She has manipulated SEC regulations. She's been, in my opinion, flaunting consumer product safety. It's possible she's guilty of insider trading. I mean, the stock market is the rear end's fallen out of that. She's been messing with the FDA for years. And on top of that, Martha Stewart, and any man can tell you this, who lives with a woman who watches or buys Martha Stewart products, she's a busybody. She sticks her nose in other people's business. She makes women feel that their home isn't good enough. And that ultimately affects the husbands and the children. And
well, what personal experience are you talking to? Your wife?
My wife watches the show, yeah. And my wife buys Martha Stewart products. Now, I'll tell you that Martha Stewart's a woman who, just from my own experience looking at my wife, she's forced women across the country and in my own home to think things aren't good enough. And that's why, with all due respect, I'm glad to see this woman under investigation. In my own home and in other men's homes, Martha Stewart has cost us dearly in terms of, I'm not going to speak for other men, but in terms of my marriage, because what happens now is...
Now you're talking about your marriage. Is that right?
Yes, sir. You were asking...
But you're not just talking about Martha Stewart products. You're talking about how your marriage...
Well, it's common. Martha Stewart, here comes her show on the cable channel, and the first thing she does on her show is try to tell everybody what to do and how to live, and as a result, you know, I've experienced... Well, I have experienced ED in intimate relations with my wife. I've experienced unhappiness in our marriage.
How did Martha Stewart create... When you say ED, you're talking about sexual dysfunction, right?
I've been a man in business for 25 years. I make a total of $55,000 a year. Martha Stewart, here's a woman who's making Donald Trump kind of money, and she's making this money for chocolate-drip strawberries, bed skirts... I mean, it makes me angry. It causes ED. It causes...
You make 55K a year. What do you do?
I'm a high school football coach, sir. And that's fine. I don't mind my job. But when I see Martha Stewart come on TV, and I made a list of one of the shows that I've seen her on. She was talking about drape balances. She was talking about macrame, potpourri. Scented candles, scented linen, scented underwear drawers, sachets, bed skirts, pastel paints. She has plaster gremlins and angels. My wife has begun floating candles and punch bowls. This is a homosexual environment, hanging ferns.
All right, okay, now we're getting to the problem. Are you telling me that you feel emasculated by Martha Stewart?
I am telling you that it is a normal feeling for a man who makes $55,000 a year to feel a little bit emasculated by a woman who comes on your television and tries to stick her nose into your personal private business, and the next thing you know, she's got your wife floating candles in a punch bowl. She makes heart-shaped waffles for Christ. So what I'm trying to say is...
Well, how is this an emotional thing? See, because in other words, you're dealing with this on a very gut, emotional level.
A lot of men do.
Well, see, my wife's not a Martha Stewart fan only because she doesn't watch TV.
Well, most American women watch TV. And the other thing here, hanging ferns and gold ink pens, living in an environment like that, what I'm trying to say to you is a constant drain on your manhood. And this is more than anything else what I think I would say to you and to your audience, and I know that there are others out there who have experienced this, that living with a woman who watches the Martha Stewart show, for that man, it is a constant, incessant, and ultimately, Mr. Henry, inexorable drain on your manhood. And for me, and I've got the doctor's bills to prove it, and I have 2 years of treatment. I've had erectile dysfunction. And they tell me that this is not physically related, that I have a psychological problem.
But ultimately, that's your problem, isn't it?
Well, now here, the doctors will differ in their opinion. Many will say that you have to take the offending toxin out of your environment. In this case, it's Martha Stewart shoving her nose into my personal business, telling my wife to making bath mats out of bottle caps everything.
I can tell you're angry.
Yes, sir, I am.
1-800, will you hang on with me? What is your name, Vernon?
Yes, Vernon Dozier, sir.
I've heard Martha Stewart called a lot of things, but I've never heard her say that, anybody say that she sticks her nose in anybody's business to the point where it causes dysfunction in their marriage.
Well, there is, let me tell you something, there's more potpourri in my house than in the state, in the entire state of California. And I say that as almost euphemistically, but I'd be willing to believe it too. Because every time I turn around, and when I grew up, and I grew up with a woman who I loved, she was my mother, I never knew what a bedskirt was until Martha Stewart and this show, which has caused so much pain for so many people. I think it is a, and forgive me, I called it a homosexual environment.
That's where I think you stepped over the line.
But it is very much a drain, a constant drain on my manhood.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Are you in an office that's a little loud there?
I am in a loading area where I work.
I'm going to give our number out here, Vernon. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. All right, this caller believes that Martha Stewart's problems aren't so much the whatever, the insider trading, the M-clone, or whatever that is. It's the fact that her show represents an intrusion into a man's life where the wife is constantly making scented underwear drawers or building a macrame or putting in... What is a drape balance, sir?
As far as I can understand, a drape balance is something that allows the drapes to hang evenly. And I think it is a compulsion, and I think it is an interest that is unhealthy. I cannot imagine in any American home where you suddenly are worried about whether your drapes are hanging evenly. And I look at that, and I say to my wife, why does that happen? Why do you do that? And
what does she say?
She says to me something that I will never forget, and I wrote it down because I keep a journal. She says, Martha Stewart is a complete woman. And I say, Martha Stewart's a complete woman, then why do I feel like a fag? And I excuse my language.
Well, please, sir, don't use that language on my show.
I beg your pardon, sir.
All right, because whether or not she has a...
But you understand what I'm saying. We're not talking about sachets and bedskirts. You understand what I'm saying.
No, I don't know.
I think what it is there is an addictive, compulsive thing about Martha Stewart. It just...
All right, so you're telling me every man feels this way.
Well, why would they be trying to bring her down? Let me tell you a story. I had some friends of mine over to play poker, and we actually play poker, and we also play pinochle, because I've enjoyed it for many years, and I'm in a pinochle league. And I've got about six friends who play a monthly game. And they walk into my house, and they see scented underwear drawers and drape balances, and one of them said to me, he made a crack about, does Richard Simmons live here? Is Liberace in the kitchen?
Well, yeah, but those are just guys that are going to give you a hard time, right?
Well, you bite your tongue and you try and wash the pain away with beer after beer, so now it causes you to drink. But it's all around. So how can they ignore the fact that my home has turned into what they now call my own friends? My own friends call it a gay playpen. So Martha Stewart has attempted to destroy the very fabric of American business and at the same time makes me look like a gay.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Vernon Dozier about Martha Stewart. The impact she's had hasn't been on manipulating SEC regulations. She has come into the American home and turned it into, as he calls it, a gay playpen. Which I find that to be a little homophobic, sir.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, but...
All right, but I'll let it go. 1-800-449-8686. Tracy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to respond to that gentleman's comment. Martha Stewart is only teaching people who do not know proper etiquette and who have to learn different things to improve their home.
Well, what is it?
Techniques.
What is... why bed skirts? What's that got to do with etiquette?
Well,
what has a scented underwear drawer got to do with etiquette?
Well, this gentleman says that he's never heard of these things before, probably
no, ma'am.
Because he came from a home where they didn't have the money for these things.
Ma'am.
He has a problem with this guy, with his wife, buying these things. He needs to stand up and say, honey, don't buy
Are you a Martha Stewart fan?
No, not really.
I see her
program from time to time, and I think she's got some neat things, and I wish I had the money to buy and do some of the things that she does.
Can I give you some advice, ma'am?
That doesn't make her a fag.
Ma'am, could I give you some advice? She has,
sure.
Don't do it, all right? Don't do it to your husband by bringing and allowing her to turn your home into Fagville.
I don't want to hear that word. Do you mind?
I'm sorry, sir.
I just think it's a hateful word, all right?
I'm sorry.
Well,
sir.
I don't do the things. But I'm saying to you that if you buy
Martha Stewart stuff and you bring it into your home, you're turning your home into a homosexual playpen where. Do you have potpourri?
I have it, but I don't use it because I can't afford to use it all the time.
But Martha Stewart teaches women how to make this insidious.
Isn't that better than her cheating?
That's a very good point, Tracy. Good point,
or
Tracy.
Anything? Let her find her happiness.
Well, you make a good point.
I think that's a very good point. She's got an interest. She likes to make her home feminine.
All right, that's good. Let me address that if I could. All right, she doesn't cheat on me. But what difference does it make when she brings Martha Stewart sticking her nose into my personal affairs? And now I'm having sexual
dysfunction.
I have sexual dysfunction as the result of Martha Stewart emasculating me and turning my home into a gay, gay, gay.
Okay, but does Martha need to be dumped on, or do you just need to straighten it out with your wife?
Do you need to straighten it out? Do you need to go to a doctor?
I've been to a doctor, and I told you and I told this lady. What I'm trying to say is doctors have told me that Martha Stewart and her influence and her sticking her nose into my personal affairs.
You keep saying she's sticking her nose into your personal affairs. How is she doing that?
She's all of her ideas my wife brings into our home. So the doctor told me that Martha Stewart is, in point of fact, toxic for a lot of American men because all she does is allow women to turn what was once a man's home now into a gay place, and it hurts me, and
well,
I'm trying
sir,
to...
I see where you're coming from.
Right.
I understand completely, and I think if your wife loves you, that she will understand that, and she will back off if you explain that to her.
All right, 1-800, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. Martha Stewart, what does she represent to the average American family? Who cares about her insider trading? Is it just about the fact that she is sticking her nose into the average home and telling wives what to do at the expense of the manhood of their husbands? And with me on the line is Vernon Dozier, who feels that way. And you have seen your wife over the course of a couple of years of watching Martha Stewart introduce floating candles into punch bowls.
Well, let me tell you, I have had in my home glass jars filled with rose petals because I had to make an accounting for the therapist that I was seeing.
You're in therapy?
I am in therapy. Yeah.
From what?
I think I do.
I mean, you're in therapy because Martha Stewart is draining your manhood away.
That and the fact that I've had erectile dysfunction as the result of coming into my own home and seeing pots of herbs on the windowsill and a doormat with a sunflower design. Jeez. You understand?
Yeah, I have a hard time understanding why that would cause you to feel emasculated.
Do you have a wife who's into Martha Stewart?
No, but I'm still going to ask you the same question. How is it
every shoebox and empty tin can in our house has been decoupaged with flowers cut out from old wrapping paper? Now, do you understand what I'm talking about? My wife is hanging swags of colored fabric from curtain rods. She has, and I will tell you something now, and this is something that is absolutely incredible, but my wife has done this as the result of this Martha Stewart, who's a thief and a liar and stole money from the SEC. My wife polishes every lettuce leaf with a white cloth until one of them shines like a waxed car fender, and then puts them into the bowl.
Why is this causing you erectile dysfunction?
Because it's not my home anymore. It's Martha Stewart's home. It's Martha Stewart's home. It's not my home.
Have you talked to a doctor about this?
Oh, I do. I talk to doctors. But they tell me the same thing, that I've got to get rid of the toxin.
And the toxin is Martha Stewart.
Yeah, but I can't do it because I've got wind chimes that are made out of coconut shells. Every time, in other words, when I go outside and I run into a wind chime made out of coconut shells, I go, God, there it is again. There it is again. And if I can get Martha Stewart out of my mind, I'm fine until, my wife gives me chunks of cheese with a toothpick and the flag of the country that the cheese came from in it. And she's...
Your wife is, like, really obsessed.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. And she uses ostrich... And I didn't know, but she uses ostrich eggs instead of regular-sized eggs for Easter egg hunts. You know what it's like not to be able to drink my beer in a glass because it doesn't match the placemat?
Well, I would say then that obviously you've got to talk to a doctor about it and make sure that he gives you the right kind of treatment. And
well, again, I have to get rid of the offending.
Well, you say the offending thing is the Martha Stewart stuff in your house.
And my wife won't get rid of this stuff.
Well, if your wife loves you, she will. Don't you think?
I've tried to talk to her, and we went in for couple counseling. And
you guys went into couple counseling. The doctor said get rid of the coconut shell wind chimes?
He told her to get rid of a lot of the things that make me feel like I'm not a man.
You know what? I got to tell you something, Vernon, just man to man.
Yes, sir.
Coconut shell wind chimes is not exactly going to make me have... And I'm not saying that you're wrong and that I'm right. But if I come in and I eat a salad that's basically pansies and arugula, it's not going to make me not be able to perform with my wife. Now, I'm wondering what it is with you.
Where are you from, sir?
Where am I from?
Yes, sir.
I'm from California.
All right.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I grew up in a gay culture. Is that it?
No, sir. I'm just saying you grew up in a culture where you are...
where I'm more used to seeing this stuff?
Yes, sir. Look at this. I just came on this. My wife made Jell-O from calf's hooves rather than buying the powdered stuff.
Here is Johnny on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Dozier, I think you have a serious problem, but I don't think it's with Martha Stewart. I think it's with your wife. I mean, if you're supposedly...
What are you talking about, my wife?
If you're supposedly the man of your house, the way you portray yourself...
That is correct.
...being a football coach...
That's correct.
You should just tell your wife enough is enough. I mean, you need to put your foot down and
just say
that's it. Wait a minute,
are you married? Are you married, sir?
Yes, I am. Happily married for 16 years.
All right.
I have three beautiful children.
Your wife
and my wife does.
Does she
make
wind chimes out of coconut shells?
No, but she does a lot of stuff that Martha Stewart shows.
Like
and
what?
I mean,
give me an example. I want to know how you react to it as opposed to me. Give me an example of what she does.
She does the potpourri, she has the bed skirts. I mean, it's part of being a lady. But if it's, no, you hang on a minute. If it bothered me, if I was so insecure in my manhood like I think you are, then she would stop out of love for me. And if I was doing something that bothered her and that enough to mention it, then I would stop out of love for her. Not as far as being gay or anything else. I mean, if it's your house, then just say, you know what, enough is enough. Enough for Martha Stewart. I'm so insecure in my manhood. It's draining my manhood. I mean, if Martha Stewart drains your manhood, you have no manhood to drain.
All right, hold on. I listen to you, Johnny, and I appreciate what you're saying. But you got to understand what it's like. I don't know how long your wife's been watching Martha Stewart. But
my about 10 years.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Has your wife ever floated a candle in a punch bowl?
Yes, she has.
Oh,
and
come
we made passionate love after that.
No, bull crap. I can't
tell you. You are full of crap.
How do you
You need to cut your mother's apron strings and grow up.
You're telling me that your wife floated candles in a punch bowl and you made passionate love after that.
I sure
That's
did. Probably conceived my son. I mean, my God, man, come on.
I was watching a
Savannah. You were probably watching some. I think
no,
you're
no, listen to this. I'm not gay.
I think you are.
Yeah, why? Hey,
because,
I was watching a Savannah porn movie.
Because you are intimidated by Martha Stewart.
I'm not intimidated by Martha Stewart. I'm intimidated by
my wife is, that woman you hurt.
Let me ask you a question. I'm watching a Savannah porn movie, and you know who Savannah is.
Yeah, I
and
know
as
who Savannah
as soon as I smelled my wife's gingerbread cookies, the chubby goes away like a squirrel down a hole. Now, how do you figure that?
How do you figure what?
I think you're gay.
My wife is
you
trying
need to be watching John Holmes is what you need
hey,
to be
Hey, let me
watching.
Tell you something. Hey, pal, Martha Stewart's trying to make me gay, and she's trying to do the same thing to you. And
no,
if you
she's
had a,
not.
No,
I
she's
mean,
not.
Thing is
you're
this.
Telling me that you got candles floating in a punch bowl, and you're not, and you don't see that as being gay?
Hell no, my wife put them in there. It helped her get into the mood, not me. My wife puts me in the mood, so if she is passionate, then I am passionate. You, I don't know what your damn hang-up is. I mean, you got some mental issues, but you're hung up in denial.
I'm not in denial. Look, I don't like guys,
yes,
okay?
Yes, you are. No, you are in denial. I'll tell you what. I think I know why you're a football coach, and your players need to be worried.
Some of you taking it personally now. You're taking it personally, aren't you, Johnny? Because
no, I'm not taking it personal.
Yeah,
I think you are wasting everybody's time by calling the show and whining like some baby.
I think you're right, Johnny.
Oh, I think you're right, Johnny. So the host is now agreeing with...
Look, I put your call
no,
on the air, okay?
The host is a man.
You are
a mouse.
You know something? When your wife starts saving snowballs so that she can create ice sculptures, you give me a call. And tell me if you're able to...
I don't have to worry about that. I live in the South where men are men. I have no idea where you're from.
Excuse me, and I don't mean any offense by
this,
but I saw a movie called Deliverance, and I don't
exactly.
think...
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was filmed in Tennessee on the Atoy River.
That's down south as far as I know.
Actually, it's not. It's in Tennessee.
Oh, that ain't the South?
No, not as far as I'm concerned. South is... Louisiana, Texas, you know, Georgia. How about them Georgia people?
And there's no guy smoking pole down there. Give me a break.
Where are
okay,
you
look
from?
I come from California. I come from California. And I'm going to tell you this. Every shoebox and empty tin can has been decked.
Look,
if you call me
gay,
you call me gay one more time, and I'll get my truck warmed up. And I'm on my way down to whatever garbage pit you live in, down there in Cracker Barrel.
Now you're taking it personally, exactly. Right,
you're taking it personally.
Okay, but this guy, how can you say men will be men when even the possums are afraid when your boys walk up, okay?
You're showing your true educational value right
I'll
there.
I'll be gay, and I will slap you into submission.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, that doesn't even warrant a reply. You are simply a loser.
All right, listen,
thank you
Johnny,
for your time.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's...
Get rid of him. 1-800-449-8686. Can you believe this cat? He believes that Martha Stewart is purposefully trying to make him gay by introducing into his home, by way of his wife, floating candles and punch bowls and hanging swags of colored fabric from curtain rods. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Pardon my ignorance, but isn't Adelphia the cable company? Well, they're filing a Chapter 11. Boy, am I glad I got satellite. Thank God for DirecTV. Because just before we moved from one part of town to another part of town, they were shifting over to Adelphia. And I saw their trucks everywhere. In fact, I had to bring, I remember bringing my cable box back to Adelphia. And, of course, I've hated cable companies since the early 80s when I first had cable. The first time I ever had cable television was up in the very northern parts of L.A. County where it's, I was in the foothills, all right? So you, I was up in a little town called Sierra Madre, and you can't get any, you can't get any over-the-air TV. And believe it or not, for you younger people listening, for you people born after the year 1980, for those of you who just came burping into the world, believe it or not, people actually used to watch something called over-the-air television. Now, Adelphia does phone service, they do paging, they do high-speed internet as well as cable, but they're a cable company nonetheless, and I grew to hate all cable companies. Their service sucked. They're, you know, they were too expensive. They pretty much had you at their mercy. They could do what they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it, and how they wanted to do it. And if it was kind of crappy service on a Saturday, well, that was even doubly bad because you weren't going to get anybody to come out and fix it. So it was generally just a, you know, not a very pleasant situation. And then satellite came into my life and all things changed. The service that I get from my satellite provider is outstanding. We get all kinds of pay-per-view. I got the NFL football package. I can watch the Major League Baseball package if I want to, which of course I don't, but if I ever wanted to, if something happened, if I had an aneurysm and suddenly I had Alzheimer's or something and I decided I wanted to buy the Major League package, I could do that. I can get the hockey package, the basketball package, college football. I got all the ESPN shows. And the prices are they're competitive. I mean, how much does a month of cable cost you, Craig?
Almost $50.
Almost $50, and you get all the basic channels, plus you get a couple of HBOs thrown in, right? Mine runs around $60 minus the NFL package. The NFL package is about $150 a year. There's no doubt that's expensive, but you can pay for it in installments. And minus the NFL package, I'm running around $60, but we got HBO and Cinemax because my kids screamed bloody murder because I didn't have it. Because really cool flicks like Miss Congeniality and any Adam Sandler movie that they ever saw was on Cinemax. I don't know. You know, Little Nicky. They just really stoked on that. And now Adelphia is filing Chapter 11. Do yourselves a favor. Get a dish. I used to hear my, you know, my friends in Miami talk about it because the, I don't know, because the cable service down there was even worse than it is out here. But in point of fact, they were right. And doubly true, because where I live, I can't get cable. There is no cable service where I live. In fact, there's barely mail service where I live. In fact, they still got covered wagons picking people up to take them up into town to get, you know, to wherever they need to go. All right, we're going to tell you a little bit. How long's our flashback here, man? We got time? We don't have any time before our flashback. We can do it right now. All right, here it is from yesterday's show, Bobby Dooley.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Excuse me, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You with your cut body, mm-hmm. I think you're the sickest mm-hmm. woman I've heard on the air for in a long time. Mm-hmm. By the way, Osama bin Laden also mm-hmm. thinks that things in America are wrong because we have freedoms. Mm-hmm. He's trying to eliminate mm-hmm. our freedoms, just like you're trying to tell people what they should look like, how they should act,
what country
what
are you
they
from?
Should wear or not.
Are you from Arabia?
No, the lady's from the Ukraine.
God, no, I'm not.
Well, I don't
but
think
I'll
that,
tell you,
you know.
You make me ill.
I'm very cut.
Yeah, and people...
And do you know about weightlifting or anything like that?
Oh, honey, I know a lot of stuff about that.
Well, can I ask you a question? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Ukraine.
Ukraine.
That's not the point. The point is
the
that
women
I
there,
live in place
mm-hmm.
when we had no freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And United States is great because mm-hmm. everybody's got their freedom.
That's very
and
good.
And you shouldn't have the right mm-hmm. to tell anybody what to do, how to bathe, something, mm-hmm. what to eat, or anything.
Are you saying that I'm acting like a communist? Is that what you're saying?
I'm
because
telling
I think
you should
that
be ashamed of yourself.
That is absolutely wrong. What I'm simply saying is I have the
I'm
right
telling
to...
you. If you're an American, I'm ashamed to be an American.
Don't you think I have the right to tell people whether they can take their clothes
no,
off?
No, but I think you have the right to do what you want to do, and you should never have the right to tell someone else how they should live their life. Who are you, and who gave you the right to
are
tell
you larger
someone
than
else?
Can I ask you a question? Are you larger than a... is your name Svetlana?
My name is not Svetlana. It doesn't matter what my name is.
Well, I'm calling you by your name. I'm trying to be...
And I would never tell anybody what they should or shouldn't do.
Are you larger
people
than a size 5?
People should be proud of the kind of human beings they are, not how cut they are.
Are you larger than a size 4?
Nothing upstairs. Well, all what you have is your cut.
I'm cut. And
did you hear what the lady said? She says you got nothing upstairs.
Well, I guess you mean I'm stupid. Is that right?
Exactly.
Are you larger than a
little brainless?
Are you larger than a size 4?
Honey, we're not talking about my size.
Oh, there it is.
And no, I'm not larger than size 4.
I figured as much.
How about that?
You're not.
No,
then I've got no problem with you taking your clothes off in front of me.
Honey, I wouldn't take my clothes off in front of you if you paid me, because you don't deserve to have to sunbathe with me or anybody else for that matter.
Well, I think, sure, I'm coming from another country.
Please, don't make me sick.
I just want to say I'm very happy that she said what she said about our great country.
Oh, get you.
Oh, our country is the best place in the world.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
The freedom that we have,
yes,
no one should have the right to take away from us.
You think you're a Yankee Doodle Dandy or something?
No, I just agree with this fine lady from another country who is... What do you mean, Yankee Doodle Dandy?
You think you're George M. Cohen or something.
We're just simply saying, if you're bigger than a 4, you better not see the clothes hit the floor. If you're bigger than an 8, then you better...
Okay.
Who gave you the right or permission to tell somebody what they should look like, how they should sunbathe, what they should eat, what they should read, and how should they raise their children?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Check out our website, too, philhendryshow.com.
Now, Phil Hendry.
Among some of the dumber commentary around the case of the missing girl in Utah, Elizabeth Smart, have been the comments concerning the visibility or lack thereof of the mother of Elizabeth Smart. Why isn't she on TV making comments to the press? Why isn't she? Because the woman's in a state of shock. Are you stupid? Now, I have seen the father, and I have seen the aunt, and I have seen the uncle, and they've been designated as the spokespeople for the family. I think I've seen one or two other people talking on television to talk about this girl, but the mother isn't on television because she's obviously in, and you may ask, well, why isn't the father? I don't know. That's just kind of the way it is sometimes in families. That's sort of the dynamic. The mother... given the connection that mothers have to their children, it has a lot to do with the fact that they were carrying them for 9 months of their lives, giving a part of their life to them. They take it in that instance a little bit tougher, or maybe they just emotionally they're not as well equipped to deal with the separation as a man is in that one particular instance. I don't know, but give her a break.
Yeah, I haven't seen the mother on TV. Do you think she cares?
No, she doesn't, man. You're right. Well, gee, how astute. Margaret Gray is joining us. She's a nationally syndicated columnist, and in fact, Margaret has written A Little Bird Told Me, which is a nationally syndicated column, for about the last 10 years. She is a mother. In fact, she's the mother of an aspiring actor, a professional actor, Jason J. Delmonico, and she's going to come on our program to talk about, I guess, that separation, right, Margaret, that one feels, the panic, and how a mother does deal with that?
Well, Phil, first of all, I want to tell you, bravo to you. You made a very, very good point. The reason why the mother isn't there is because she's going through an emotional a roller coaster. I'm going to be writing about the Elizabeth Smart case, and the fear that you do feel, the mixture of emotions that you go through. My heart goes out to that family and the feelings that they are feeling, because it almost happened to me and to my son, Jason J. Delmonico. He's 11 years of age. And
can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, because it happened about 2 years ago. He was 9, and we were over at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, and I walked into Saks Fifth Avenue to get some cufflinks for Frank, his 75th birthday, that was coming up, and you look up, and suddenly they are gone. I couldn't see my son anywhere. The first thing you do is you scream at the top of your lungs. You scream your child's name. That was the very first thing I do, and that's the initial instinct of every mother, to just scream his name. Oh my God, where is my boy? Oh my God, please God, don't let any harm befall him. And
it's a panic time then, I guess.
It is very in panic. very panicked. And anyone who's ever lost a child at the mall, you know the sensation, because what happens, Phil, everything goes into slow motion. And then your peripheral vision goes. You can hear your own heartbeat. You can hear your own breathing. And so it is a terrible panic.
All right, so you lost...
Hold on for a minute. I got to pick my...
Phil?
Yeah, I'm right here. I just was picking up my pen. So you lost your son. Tell us about that panic, and I'm assuming you found him, obviously.
Oh, yes. We found him in a couple of hours, though.
2 hours.
2 hours. Let me tell you something. After the initial panic wears off, you jump into action. I ran up and down the corridors and up and down the mall from kiosk to kiosk. Now, the thing you should do is attract as much attention as you can. Scream your child's name, because time is of the essence. I went to security. I remember I talked to a couple of the security men. They asked me what he looked like. And when you're in that state, remember that you forget what your child looks like. They asked me, what does the boy look like? And I said to them, I'm in a state of shock. I don't understand your question. And
are you saying that when a mother loses a child, she is so shocked, she doesn't know what the child looks like, or she just can't describe it?
No, you forget what your child looks like. You're in shock. This is probably one of the problems that they're having in this child's case in Utah. I'll never forget. There was an Orange Julius stand, and I went over to the microphone that they use to announce that a table is ready. And I had already alerted security. I talked to some of the kiosk people. I grabbed the young man behind the counter, and I felt so bad about it, but I literally grabbed him by the shirt, and I pulled him out of the booth, and I went to the microphone. I was fumbling with the on switch, and I got on, and I said, excuse me, my name is Margaret Gray. And
now, Margaret, I want to be clear. You're announcing this to the whole mall?
Just to the food court, where you can hear the announcements, yes. And people looked up. I said, I'm Margaret Gray. My son is Jason J. Delmonico. He has appeared in a number of commercials that you might have seen. I mentioned that he'd been in a Blue's Clues and a voiceover in Rugrats. I said, I need your help desperately. My son is missing somewhere here in the mall. And I'm remembering it now, Phil.
I understand. It's emotional. I mean, my wife told me about losing the kids.
I said, I need your help desperately. I've got a 4 o'clock facial and an upper colonic at 6. I'm interviewing Gavin McLeod. And I kept repeating, I'm interviewing Gavin McLeod. And all of this is racing through my mind. So I look at the clock. He's been gone almost 2 hours. And let me tell you something, Phil. It's at this point you realize all of your priorities. You start thinking about the money that you spent on singing lessons, the braces, the acting lessons, the agent commissions. You begin to understand how much you have invested in this child. 15% that we make from his trust in is empowering our retirement. The fact that I almost died giving birth to him, all of this is running through my mind. And
hold on, Margaret. I want to hear the end of this story, but I want to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is talking to us about almost losing her son, the actor Jason J. Delmonico, at the Sherman Oaks Galleria. Now, you grab a microphone. You announce who you are.
And Phil, I can tell you something. When I was just mentioning the money that I had invested in him, and the money that Frank and I have had invested in him, the acting lessons, the braces, we did a little work on his face. All of a sudden, the boy is gone, and you think of all that money, and the boy being gone, my God, it was like the stock market crashing. It was literally like the rear end coming out of every investment you ever made. And I'm in panic.
All right, you're in panic, and you've made that announcement. Now what happens?
All right. All of a sudden, I look up, and there he is, standing at the window of a Radio Shack with a big Jamba Juice cup, and I feel myself go weak.
I can imagine how emotional it was.
I feel myself go weak. I run over there, and every parent can relate to this. When you finally find a lost child, when you finally find that child, you want to reinforce in that child how serious it was. And I was absolutely beside myself, but I had the presence of mind to close my fist. I hit him a shot right in his mouth, and I told him, do you realize what you have done? Now, this is the time for tough love, Phil, and that's why when you love your child, you...
You struck him?
This is tough love. Now, hold on for a minute. This is tough love, and this is what saves a child's life. This is a time to let them know that they jeopardize themselves and other people. Tough love means you drill into them that they never, ever go off like that again. And I split his lip, but I'll tell you this. Every time he looks in the mirror and he sees the scar from the 3 stitches they took to sew his lip back on, he remembers the angst he put us through. I should put him in a safe, but he's a human being, obviously, and this is tough love.
All right, now, the boy was there. He had gotten himself a Jamba Juice. He was standing at...
But keep in mind, Phil, he'd been gone for 2 hours, and he wasn't supposed to be.
But you ran up to him, and you hit him.
You're not a... You're a stepfather, right?
Yes.
All right, you've never had children of your own.
No, ma'am, I haven't.
All right, then you don't really understand the dynamic and what happens. The first thing you do is you run up to that child, and you say to them in no uncertain terms, don't you ever do that again. And I closed my fist. Some women will use the open hand. Some people will spin them around and yank their pants down and tan their hides right there in front of a mall full of people. But what I did, and I remember I was wearing my wedding ring, and I was wearing my engagement ring with a big thick stone on it. I hauled back, I closed my fist, and I hit him a shot right in the jaw. And I'll tell you something, he fell back on his rear end crying, but he'll never, ever do that again. And I don't know how the smarts are dealing with this, but the first thing any parent that I know of will do is when that child comes home, you smack 7 shades of crap out of them, and they know that they are loved.
All right, hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, a syndicated columnist, writing about the smart case, and point of fact, writing about her experience losing her son in a mall 2 years ago. He was gone for 2 hours. She had no idea where he was. She went up to a variety of security people. At one point, she went over to one of those microphones that they use in restaurants to tell you that your table is ready and made an announcement to a food court that it was Jason J. Delmonico, who is a recognizable actor. Where is her son? She didn't know. And she said she suddenly looked up, and there he was, standing by himself, and it was at that point that she ran over to him and hit him in the mouth with a closed fist. Now, she calls this tough love. Hey, Margaret, am I right? You call that tough love?
I told that boy loud and clear, now I've missed my facial, my upper colonic, and I'm sure as hell is going to be tough getting to Marina Del Rey for that interview with Gavin. I took all my rings off of one hand, and I put them on the striking hand. That's how much I needed to give him the message. This is tough love.
Wait a minute. You took all the rings. What'd you hit him with, the right?
I hit him with my right hand, yes.
So you took all the rings off your left hand and loaded up your right hand?
Yes. Absolutely. You know, the questions you asked show me that you're not really a fun...
You loaded up your right hand with rings and clocked him in the mouth.
It's tough love, Phil, and we need more tough love.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. My wife and I, my wife doesn't strike kids, but then we've never lost a kid in the mall. 1-800-449-8686. So she took all of the rings off her left hand, put them on the right hand, loaded it up brass knuckle style, and clocked the kid straight in the jaw because he'd been missing for 2 hours, gone off without her permission. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're talking with Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, and the victim herself, I guess, if you would say, of a child gone missing. Margaret's on the line with us from her office in Santa Monica, California.
And Phil, I wanted to jump in and say that there have been a number of children that have gone missing these days. Tough love, that is what these parents have to have. And my son, Jason, has a 14-carat reminder of tough love. There is a scar along his upper lip, which I split open myself, and I had a right hand loaded with rings, but every time he looks at his face, he'll remember that better to have that scar than to be carried off in a van by some garbage, some jail garbage, some con man, God knows what, and we never see him again.
It's the belting the kid that gets me. And it's the idea...
Phil, I had three separate appointments.
Well, that's the other thing, too, these appointments that you had. You had a high colonic, a facial, and an interview with Gavin McLeod.
Yes, that's exactly right. Where does this boy get off trifling or manipulating my career, going off and getting a Jamba Juice? He is lucky that all I did was get him in the mouth. I really thought about using my foot, too. That's how angry I was. But it's tough love that always wins.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Is it Phil or Bill?
Yeah, my name's Phil, Don.
Phil, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm 70 years old. I have never called to a talk show in my life. I'm working in my office in my home, and I happen to have the radio on, and I heard this bizarre woman.
Can you do me a favor, Don? Don, you need to do me a favor.
I cannot believe.
Oh, no. Don,
that,
you need to turn your radio down, Don. Turn your radio down, buddy.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah,
okay.
No problem.
Did he call me bizarre?
Well, he's saying that you're bizarre.
I cannot believe that anyone with, I don't know how old she is, I cannot believe that anyone
53 years of age.
Would admit to wanting to bash their children in their mouth with a fist.
Wait a minute.
First of all,
I have
had five children and eight grandchildren and one great-grandchild.
Good for you.
I cannot imagine when you lose a child for whatever the circumstances were for a matter of an hour or two that the first thing you wouldn't want to do is to love them. To hold
I love my boy.
Them, and
I
to
love
whatever
my
the
boy.
Reasons were they went away, they were children. And for you to say on public radio, if you will, or on the radio, that you gave him all these different opportunities or whatever the hell it was,
yes,
excuse me,
yes,
and
I
you
did.
Were so concerned about a facial and interviewing somebody who obviously is a celebrity,
Gavin
and
McLeod.
All these things that jeopardized your career, you were not interested in that child at all.
Now, wait a minute, I'm entitled
in that
to
child,
respond.
Ma'am.
I'm entitled to respond.
Every
time
I cannot, you should be arrested.
If
I am in a mall or in a public place, it's the most offensive thing to me to see a parent smack a child.
Well, you know,
we
you
don't
may
do
not
do
believe in
corporal.
You may not believe in corporal punishment, but that's your choice, not mine.
It is my choice.
I do
but
believe
the thing that makes
child,
me offended by your conversation is you were so concerned about your facial, your interview with somebody named McLeod, etc.
Gavin
McLeod. Just makes me sick.
Are you aware
and
of who Gavin McLeod is?
I guess your child had a damn good reason for getting away.
Are you aware of who Gavin McLeod is?
I could care less.
Well, then you've
your
never
child watched, was lost.
One of the
you're sitting
running,
here on the radio telling how many thousands of listeners that your concern was about your career, not about the loss of that child.
I think
it's absolutely pathetic.
First of all, I
don't care to even converse with you, ma'am.
Oh, that's very,
sir, thank
well,
you
that's
for
very
taking my call.
Of you, very close-minded of you. But I had a high colonic that was scheduled for...
What is a high colonic?
It is a health treatment.
But what is that?
The colon is flushed by way of an enema.
Why don't you tell him?
I am telling him the colon is flushed by way of an enema, and it is a health treatment that I use for my skin, and it's one of the reasons why at 53, Don, I would think that I'd make your hands sweat.
No, you make my heart bleed because of the way you discuss in a disgusting manner what you did to your own child.
I had, you know what?
Well, look at
you should be arrested for this.
For what?
You should still be arrested for this.
For what?
And you're so concerned about a colonic treatment and Gavin McLeod?
Yes.
Well, you're unbelievably
look at Margaret.
Forced.
Margaret, were you concerned with the boy?
I never heard anything. It disgusted me so much to listen. I was working when I heard this.
Let me ask a question here, Don.
Yes.
Obviously, Margaret, you were concerned with the safety of your child.
Obviously, I was, but that's something that has completely missed this man. I was in a panic. First of all, I love my son. I almost died giving birth to him. Number two, yes, the money that we've got tied up in the acting lessons alone. The money.
How could you relate to acting lessons when you have a missing child?
Do you know?
How could you bring into your mind all these monetary things? My God, if I'd have lost one of my children And we all have gone through this at my age. There were many times when you're in a department store or a grocery store, a child wanders out of curiosity when you turn your head.
Exactly.
The last thing I could possibly ever think of is wondering how much I spent on his braces or his acting lessons or his piano lessons.
I cannot conceive of that.
You need to examine your conscience, man, and you need some therapy.
The point is, a child is an investment, like a car, like a building, like a
child is not an investment. A child is a gift of God, and it's a gift of love.
Of course he is.
It is not an investment.
What you want out of what you want to get back what you put in. Do you see what I'm saying? I can't even accept that
conversation.
Don, I've got tied up in this kid.
What you invest in your child, man, is love. You don't invest money. You may, as a matter of your responsibility, but a missing child
all
is not
right,
bring to your mind immediately
right,
how much
doc.
You invested in that child.
Very
you
good,
need to
Dr. Biscaglia, but I'm
how old is this boy now?
He's 11 years of age. He's very healthy. He's been in two
But he's got scars that you say that he every time he looks in the mirror, he remembers.
He just has a little tiny scar that when he looks, he knows he doesn't leave mommy ever again. And thank God I took out insurance on him, too. In fact,
that was a good monetary decision.
It's a good investment, yes.
Yes, it certainly is. And the way it would pay off is if he died, right?
Or serious injury, yes.
Right, so that would make you feel good, wouldn't it?
No, it would not, but you've got to think of the future. My husband, Frank, and I get 15% from his trust as an actor. We do manage his career.
All right. Look, Don, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret lost her.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, about losing a child, about lost children, about finding children, the panic that a mother feels in a mall when she loses a child. You lost your son, Jason J. Delmonico. He's an actor of some renown. He's 11 years of age at the Galleria. And you mentioned that the boy is a commodity.
No, I did not say that, Phil.
Well, you mentioned that the children are an investment.
Yes, I did say they are an investment. Any parent that doesn't see it that way obviously hasn't been a parent very long. A child, if you look at Jason J. Delmonico just from the standpoint of his life, swimming lessons. We send him to a private, exclusive West Side grammar school, $35,000 a year.
Good Lord, that's tuition?
You got it. And you're trying to tell me that I shouldn't get absolutely beside myself when that boy comes back after wandering off and, oh, Mommy, hi, how are you? You were gone for 2 hours. I did what I had to do. It's tough love to rear back and take a shot. And I got to tell you something, Phil. I took martial arts when I was in school. And it was a healthy shot, but I held up a little bit because I knew he was a lot smaller than me. But when you think of the swimming lessons, the acting lessons, the braces, the emergency room visit that we had to make to sew that lip together.
You don't see that as your making?
No, he did that. And tough love is expensive. And I sat him down and I said, Jason, darling, Mommy and Daddy have spent almost $1 million on you. But what are we getting? What do we get? You have to begin to return the investment. That's why when you go out on auditions and you are in different TV commercials, do your best.
So that Mommy and Daddy have the...
No, so that we can be proud of them.
1-800-449-8686. Pam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I'd just like to say that I feel like this was malicious and intentful child abuse.
Oh, well, that is so Oprah of you, but I'm afraid you're not really seeing the whole picture.
Well, I do see the whole picture. I happen to have three very successful daughters.
But that's very Oprah.
And I have five grandsons, a granddaughter, and I have never, not ever, intentionally taken rings off of my hand, put them on the other hand, and hit that. I would not do that to my dog.
My son, Jason J. Delmonico, is a very well-known young actor. So I think that...
And that's the only thing that's important to you.
No,
that's
but...
the only thing.
No, but
you
I think...
Look in the mirror and see how much bigger you are than him.
Listen,
and then you hit him?
All I
how
have...
How would you like it if somebody that much bigger than you hit you?
if I was 9 years old and I ran off, I would hope that they would hit me so hard that my jaw would be dislocated.
I would hope that when he gets old enough, he takes that silly little 15% that you're getting from him and sue you for every dime.
You know something, Pat? You love to pass judgment on me. How many TV commercials have your kids been in?
Now we know. You're in it for the commercials. You're not in it for the love.
I think that my son's life is a little bit more valuable from that standpoint than your children.
I don't think so.
That's why.
How can you say that?
It's obvious that there is more money tied up in Jason J. Delmonico's career than whatever she's got.
You don't even have an ounce of love compared to the love that my kids have.
Look, with
and my grandkids.
Herd, with your little herd, I'm
you are so full of it.
No, I'm sure you're very happy, but I have...
I am absolutely ecstatic, and I'm very proud of my kids, and I don't ever want to take any money from them. And every dime I've got, I've invested in them, and I love them, and I will give them everything, and I don't expect anything
you
in
return. You say that until you start wetting yourself, and you need to move into the room over the garage. Then you'll think differently, all right? And until that day comes around, I think that you should remember what I said. You pluck that kid, and if he thinks about wandering off, show him your ring. And
if, if I had seen you pluck that kid, I'd have called the police.
And what? You're going to call the police? You're interfering in me? You would interfere with a mother.
Yeah, I would. Because that's not only abuse, it's assault.
Isn't that PC of you to interfere with a mother doing tough love? You know what I mean?
Maybe it is. It might be PC, but it's moral and it's right.
You are
wrong to hit your child like that.
I'm not saying that you can't swat him on the butt once in a while.
So what I am saying is you don't take your big fancy ring that you're talking about and put several of them on a hand, and then knock him across and put stitches in his face. You are absolutely ludicrous.
My son went off for 2 hours and scared me to death. My husband, Frank, gave me a beautiful 3.5-carat stone for our engagement ring. And let me tell you something, it comes in mighty handy when a kid thinks
it comes in handy to beat your kid with. I'm really glad.
It comes in handy when a kid is 9 going on 26. And, Pam, you look cute at the old folks' home gumming your pork because the herd couldn't afford to put you in a put a tooth in your mouth.
Hey, sweetie, you know how much money I have.
You know, Margaret, you don't have to be that insulting.
Oh, she's telling me how to be a mother? She's telling me how to keep my child safe? My child, safe. Do you know have you ever heard the name Elizabeth Smart? Do you know the name Moxley? Do you know the name Danielle Van Damme? Good God, woman. Children are dying.
And your point is?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm done.
I know you're there, Pam. Are you there,
yes,
Margaret?
I'm sick of it.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, then go back to the phone.
No. I'm sick of it.
Well, I guess she doesn't want to come back to the phone.
I guess not.
You're right. I've been treated with disrespect. Goodbye.
Sounds like she's hitting the phone now.
Are you trying to hang up?
I've hung up.
No, you haven't hung up, because I'm still talking to you.
Please tell the cow to quit laughing.
Don't call her a cow.
I'm asking the cow on the other end to quit laughing.
Don't call the woman a name. You don't want to be on the phone? Hang up.
There.
There what?
She's hitting the phone with a ring.
All right, is it hung up?
No, it's not.
$3,000 phone.
I'll see you later, Pam.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, hang it up, will you? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And I've never been so excited in my life, and I do want the name of your employer as soon as we conclude this phone conversation.
That's fine. You can have it. 1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead.
Bitch, you need your damn head examined. I've been a parent for 19 years.
What did you just call me?
I called you a stupid bitch.
Well, you dirty,
anybody that will abuse their kid like you have,
you know something? At least I don't go to bed with him like you do, Tom.
Wait a second.
If he comes out of the gate calling me the B word, let me tell you something. The gloves come off.
All right, can we start all over again here?
No, I was raised as abusive kid by my father. All he knew was his fist. I swore I'd never do that to my kids, and I haven't.
Dumb. The guy used that.
Yes. He's a cheat-wearing clan, corncob pipe-smoking Beverly Hills. Oh, that dude, you dirty.
All right. Well, that was really great. Was that my wife again?
She's going to bingo.
She's going to bingo?
Yeah, Catherine.
Can I call out in here? I can? How do I do it? Here, I'll call my wife.
Go ahead and dial up the number.
All right. Hold on, folks. There, I just dialed it.
Okay. I'll tell you when it's ringing.
Okay. She's at home. It's an 818 number, too. Let me try it again here.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey, baby.
I'm sorry. How's it going?
It's fine. We're on the air right now, live on the Phil Hendry Show, coast to coast. But because I didn't call you during the break, you're going to bingo?
Yes.
Okay, doll. I'm sorry I forgot to call you.
That's okay. But I just wanted to know, did you want me... Catherine's coming with me. Are you okay with Catherine and I, or do you want me to have Stuart drop me off?
No, that's cool.
With?
No, that's cool. Catherine's coming with you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me know how you're doing.
Okay.
Right. Oh, hold on for a minute, honey.
Okay.
What, David?
Yeah, I'm going to be meeting your wife there.
That's fine. Thank you. All right. Okay, doll, what time are you guys coming home?
Always a pleasure to talk with you, David.
Yeah, well, he's...
It was a pleasure to talk to you, Maria. You know, your husband's drinking.
Thank you. So what time are you guys coming home?
We should be home 10:30.
All right, doll.
Okay.
Love you.
Thanks, baby. Love you.
All right,
you
see you later. Bye. There you go. I mean, she called me twice, and so there it is. All right, now... thank you, Margaret, for your whole lot of nothing. 1-800-449-8686. I want to just step into this as lightly as I can. Well, first of all, I want to tell you about our website, and then I have a couple of things I want to mention. Our website is philhendryshow.com, and we're very excited these days about the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, because in addition to all the classic comedy you get on our program, it's all archived there. Our 30-day archive, every single show we've done for the last 30 days, all the audio, short-form and long-form bits that we've done, it's all there, and it goes back like 8 years in some instances. Besides all of that marvelous stuff in our webcast archive, we also have the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop, and we're slowly but surely, slowly and carefully, getting newer and newer items into the store. For instance, for you men about town, you want to look good just lounging by the pool, something you can throw on with a pair of slacks or a pair of shorts. Yes, it's the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a shirt based upon Ted Bell, who is the owner of Teds of Beverly Hills Steakhouse in Beverly Hills, a frequent guest on our program. The big Teds of Beverly Hills insignia is on the back, along with an insignia over the left breast. The shirt comes in a royal blue and black, 65% polyester, 35% rayon, comes in all the men's sizes from small to extra, extra large, and the orders are shipped from between 2 and 4 weeks. So go into our souvenir shop and pick that up. Maybe you want something a little bit more casual. Maybe you want something you could just sort of lay around by the pool in. Well, then you want the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It's black with a silver Citizens Auxiliary Police badge over the left breast and the slogan, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police," on the back in silver. And you can dry your car with it if you don't like the shirt once you get it. But in any event, it's a very nice, heavyweight, 100% cotton. And again, it comes in all the men's sizes, small, medium, large, extra large, and extra, extra large. Again, orders ship between
2 to 4 weeks. And if you'd like to get caught up on your Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs, we have a link to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And My Friend's Place benefits from the sale of our CDs, and they have for the last 6 years. So please pick up either our Best of the Year 2001, 2000. We've got it 99, 98, all the way back to 97. And again, that's $20, $350 shipping and handling. And they're pretty good over at My Friend's Place, shipping out our Best of CDs. So you see, our website has something for everybody, including our wall of female listeners. Don't miss that. And take a look at pictures of all 18 women that listen to my show. Yes, our radio program does very well, but it's mostly men, and we only have 18 women listening to it, and it's the only show that posts the pictures of all of their female listeners right on their website. So check out their faces as well as our Phil Henry diary. Oh, my God, I forgot my diary for this week. Oh, well. In any event, when I get that updated, check that out. It's all there on the Phil Henry Show website, philhendryshow.com. You know, I'm very happy that Siamese twins are, you know, more successfully than ever before getting separated. But every time there's a Siamese twin in the news, there's a Siamese twin in the news. That's what basically what I'm saying. You notice that every week? Siamese twins who were joined at the leg are... Okay, there we go. Siamese twins joined at the head. And there's Siamese twins that are joined at the neck and Siamese twins. And they're always doing some Siamese twins thing. Occasionally, there's one or two here in the States, but it's mostly like in Thailand or India where the doctors are working on separating Siamese twins. Now, am I right or am I wrong when I say that Siamese, there have been a few in down through history who actually got along very well and lived to old age together? I guess if you're joined at the head, though, it don't make much sense. I don't think you can. But the poor little guys, I mean, I suppose it calls attention to a malady that needs attention drawn to it. But the number of Siamese twins that are born in the world, in relation to, let's say, men with prostate cancer, women with breast cancer, and all of the other things that I'm sure you've heard many, many times before, need the attention of the health services. Never do you really get the... There's a guy with prostate cancer in Dallas. Here's a picture of Bob Johnson's testicles, and doctors successfully... They don't really have that, you know. It's just, I guess there's too many of them, and I can certainly understand the need to... You know, you can't publicize your last one, but the Siamese twins, man, they get, per capita, Siamese twins get more attention medically than any other malady in the history of the world. Pretty soon, they're going to have the Siamese twin thing down so good it'll be an outpatient procedure. Just come in, well, we're joined at the head. All right, go on, get in there. The operation to separate these poor little guys right now is going to cost $1.5 million. In about 100 years, it'll be like $50 to go in and get your head separated because you were born Siamese twins. 1-800-449-8686. Then the other thing, you got to hear this story. Craig Taylor, who's my engineer, was flying to Japan 2 weeks ago, Craig? About a week and a half ago. He's going to visit his girlfriend, Nikki, and they land in San Jose, and then they're going to take a nonstop from San Jose to Narita, which is the airport for Tokyo. They get about an hour outside of Seattle, and the pilot comes on and says, probably in the way that pilots do it,
"All right, folks, we got a little bit of a problem up here, so we're going to turn around and head on back to Seattle Airport, and it's okay. It's not that big of a problem. There's no big deal. We're going to head on back."
Then in about 5 minutes, the guy comes back on.
"See, listen, folks, we're going to have to dump fuel, and..."
So now the guy's vacation has turned into a nightmare as the pilot is winging the plane back to Seattle, dumping fuel all the way. They land in Seattle, they have to spend the night in Seattle, and they have to jump another plane, and they fly, I guess, from Seattle all the way to Tokyo. Now, here's the thing with that. Number one, he's a day late for his vacation. Number two, can you think of a more stressful way to start a vacation than a pilot saying,
"Well, we'll be dumping fuel on our way back"?
I would have been drinking everything they had in that little rolling mini bar. Is there any one of these? Boy, no wonder they serve booze on planes. And apparently they finally get back on the plane in Seattle. They fly to Narita, and Craig's talking to somebody from the airline. They said, "Well, it was a fuel what? Fuel flow problem." Oh, that's one you want to have when you're right out over the North Pacific. God. Good thing you are just chill, man. You know, I mean, if it was me, I'd be probably crapping on the drink cart like that one guy did that time. That's what I would be doing. Unbelievable, dude. What a way to start a vacation. Hi, everybody. I know you want to go on your vacation, but let's turn around and go back to the airport we just left, and let's dump fuel while we're doing it. And, oh, yeah, put your tray tables up and bend over and take all the sharp objects out of your pocket. Thank you. It's Phil Henry Show.